You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour. Thank you so much once again for listening to our podcast. You probably guessed, this is Alex Mearns. With me in the studio is my little football friend, your football friend, Dom Betts. You happy to see me? You happy to be back doing The Football Hour?
It's great. I mean, not after yesterday's result, which as recording on Monday, so we lost 3-0 to Spurs. But what do you expect playing the third best team in England?
Yeah, Fulham didn't really have much magic of the FA Cup, but there was a lot of shocks, which we were really pleased with. Lincoln did amazing against Premier League side Burnley. We are recording this before Sutton's game against Arsenal. What a result for Sutton. 5-0 against Arsenal, Dom.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great, mate. They just scored bangers. 2 30-yarders. 4 free kicks, you know.
Yeah, this podcast might come out after the game, but we don't know what happened. So good luck to Sutton. What we're going to do for this podcast is the best players from each Premier League team. We're going to pick one of the best... No, have I got that right, Dom? Yeah. The best player from each Premier League team in alphabetical order. So we're going to start at AFC Bournemouth, and we're going to split this into two parts. So AFC Bournemouth, we're going to finish on Man City. So, Dom... AFC Bournemouth are a Premier League side, which is rather incredible in its own right. Who do you think their best player is this season, and in total, really? What's their best player?
I'm saying Harry Arter.
Right.
I'm comparing him to Jack Wilshere, because obviously they're both central midfielders, and Harry Arter's stuck out. Jack Wilshere hasn't stuck out as a quality player. He's just Jack Wilshere. I think his name sticks out to me more than his actual footballing ability, but Harry Arter this season has been quality. He's been their... key player who keeps their team ticking, who brings it from the defence to the attack, and obviously they've got so much pace up front that he just plays it out either to Fraser or Callum Wilson, Benik Afobe, Joshua King. I think he's just so critical to this Bournemouth side.
I think you're completely right. I had a difficult decision maybe for a slight second because you know I like Adam Smith, the fullback. He had a really reasonable season for someone of his ability. But you're right about Harry Arter's... Sorry, I haven't mentioned, but Harry Arter is my Bournemouth's best player, and you're right, he's proved that he's better than Wilshere this season. You said he's their tick, their clock. He is a metronome of their side, isn't he? He just keeps them going.
He's sort of in between their defence and the attack. Obviously, their midfield is probably their greatest asset because they haven't got the greatest defence, and I wouldn't say they have a 20 goal a season striker.
No.
I mean, they've got some very okay average Premier League strikers, but nothing key.
So they do well with their ability, them strikers. Yeah.
But Harry Arter is just so critical. I mean, that's all he is. He literally is what makes that side tick. And Harry Arter, if you mentioned him before you came to the Premier League, you'd have no idea who he was. I mean, a lot of the Bournemouth players you wouldn't. I mean, people would have heard of Josh King because he had formerly at United. You got Afobe, who was at Arsenal. You had Callum Wilson, who was obviously the top scorer when they came up. But Harry Arter was a sort of unknown quantity.
He's really impressed, and as we say, he's now Bournemouth's best player, if you're asking the Football Hour. Dom, onto your favourite team, Arsenal. I laugh at that because it must be hard for you to pick a best player because you hate most of the Arsenal squad, but who have you gone for?
Who can you pick apart from Alexis Sanchez? I know who I think you're going to pick, but like Sanchez, without them, they'd probably be about eighth.
Yeah. Let's have a look. How many goals has he got this season? He's absolutely incredible, that
boy. He's definitely the top scorer or one of the top goal scorers in the league. 20 goals and 6 assists in 31 games, or 33 if you include his 2 sub appearances.
Yeah, he's class, isn't he? He's class, but there's another guy in their team who I'd say fits the Arsenal mould more. I think he's the definition of what an Arsenal player to me is. Mesut Ozil, we're at a stage of the season once again where it's the I hate Mesut Ozil month. But honestly, when I watch him play, he's so graceful and so beautiful when he plays. And he's played 150 games. He's got 48 assists for Arsenal. You can't sniff at that. And before this season, do you know who he was passing the ball to for them assists? Well, Giroud, Walcott, not the top quality players that he was used to when he was playing for Real Madrid. He's got good stats for someone, I think, who has had to deal with a lot of poor players. Like, Dom, last season, how many times did we go, Mesut Ozil just did the most beautiful ball ever, and it's just been wasted by Walcott? And that has happened a lot. And he's almost like sometimes he's on a different wavelength with Arsenal and maybe a different wavelenth for English football fans. And
my problem with Mesut Ozil, I think he's too comfortable at the club. Mm. he's not getting pushed, and that's why he's not performing in the big games.
Mourinho, he was really pushed, wasn't he, when he was at Madrid?
He was one of their best players until obviously they signed a lot more centre midfielders in. And yeah, he's a top player, but I think to be the best player at a club, you need to perform in the big games. I know everyone brings it up that Mesut Ozil often appears as a ghost in these big games, but it's true.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't appear in the Chelsea game. He didn't appear in the Bayern Munich game last week. And I know people will mention, oh, he turned up in the Chelsea game when they won 3-0. But he doesn't turn up in the big games when it matters.
I understand.
And for me, there's other players in the Arsenal team for this season who I would have above Ozil on this season's performance. Like, Giroud. I know a lot of Arsenal fans don't like him, but he's got 11 goals in 9 starts. I know he's made 12 sub-appearances, but he is a quality plan B. He's probably the best plan B in the league.
Okay.
And if Santi Cazorla had played the whole season, he'd probably be their best player because he's so critical to the 4-2-3-1 system. Obviously, they have a defensive midfielder in Francis Coquelin, and then Cazorla sets it up to the likes of Mesut Ozil, Theo Walcott, Danny Welbeck, Giroud, Sanchez, whoever.
Let's clap him in, listener. Some good analysis from the boy DB. We've been practicing. Hey, you know the amount of content we put out. Dom, we might be reaching the point where, God, are we getting good at this?
You might be saying points that make sense.
Well, we'll move on to Burnley. Down the alphabet, on to number B.
Number B. Number B. That's what we love.
Who's the best player at Burnley Football Club? It's Joey Barton, of course, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, clearly. No, for me, it was between 2 players for this.
Okay.
Centre midfielder from Belgium they signed in Stefan Defour.
Interesting.
I'm a big fan of him.
You're a fan, though, but come on, he's not had the best season. No,
yeah, that's why I mentioned the player who I do think is the best player in Burnley, and that's Tom Heaton.
Oh, I've gone for Andre Gray, their goal scorer. Probably, with the amount of chances he had, he got banned for being horrible on Twitter, which he fully deserved. But in his 60 appearances for Burnley, 30 goals.
I mean, yeah, he's a great striker, and he's that proper championship striker who I knew would succeed in the Premier League, which he has.
Yeah.
But I think Tom Heaton, there's games where he's won the game for them. I don't think there's many games where Andre Gray has won the game. You could argue maybe Liverpool at home, but like United away, Tom Heaton was ridiculous. I think another honourable mention at Burnley is Michael Keane, a centre-back.
Yep.
Another product of the Man United youth system who just seems to be around these Premier League clubs. And he's been quality this season because you never really know what you're going to get in Michael Keane because he's he's been more of a championship Premier League reserve player for the last few years.
And with Burnley this season, when we're trying to pick a best player, you're going to have to say the squad, aren't you?
Because they're all so good.
Collectively,
as a system. But I picked out Tom Heaton just because I think he's had some unbelievable individual performances this season.
Yeah. No, you're fair play. I think both ends of the field are so vital to a team like Burnley. They need Andre Gray, who nicks the goal for that gets the win, which moves them up the table, which is so vital. But at the other end of the pitch, you've got Tom Heaton. He'll save that opportunity right at the end of the game, and they snatch the point, they snatch the win. Both vital, vital players
Sean Dyche's team. When we've been looking at the best players from teams, I've tried my best not to pick strikers. Just because, yes, striker get you the goals, and obviously goals technically do win you the league, but
you're going to hate my best players.
I've been trying to think of players who are so key to the side and the system that they're the player that makes that team tick.
I also picked on who I really appreciate with my eyes, sort of my favourite player when I flick on Burnley and I immediately go, I'm looking forward to seeing Gray today. Okay, let's move on to probably the 2016-2017 champions, Chelsea. The side from West London, God, you've got an array of players to pick from. But, Dom, seriously, my best player is Diego Costa. I think if we're talking of best players and most vital to a team, I've got a feeling you're going to pick a Belgian left winger. But Costa, he is a brutal winner. And let's talk about his first season at Chelsea and this season. I feel like he fell out with Mourinho, that's why he fell off. But I think that maybe proves how good of a player he was, Dom. That I think he was so vital for Chelsea doing so bad last year. It's the same sort of compliment I can give to him doing so well this year. Without him, I think they're really nothing. I think they're nothing. He is their point. He is their focal point of the team. He's just a warrior and I love watching him. But you're going to tell me something different. Who do you think Chelsea's best player is?
N'Golo Kante.
Oh, you're not going for Hazard. I love Hazard.
I love Hazard. I like Diego Costa. I like Pedro. Kante, he's the best player in the league. There was no way I couldn't pick him. As soon as I saw Chelsea, I was like, N'Golo Kante straight away, because obviously he does the Makélélé role, or might be known as the Kante role sometime soon.
Do you think we'll be doing this podcast in 5 years and we'll be like, he's playing the Kante role so well at
the
moment.
Yeah, because I think the best thing, obviously, he gives him a defence, a line of cover with the three defenders and the two wing-backs, but his centre midfield partner, he gives him the licence to be more creative and go forward, because we've seen a different Nemanja Matic this season. Everyone thought he was just a holding player who could just sweep up, pass the ball along, but no, he can go forward, he can drive, he's got quite a few assists this season, he's contributed to a lot of the attacking play. If Matic isn't there, you've got Fabregas. So that's why I've gone with N'Golo Kante, really.
All right. No, fair play.
And I mean, he's pretty much walking two teams to the title. So that's the reason I went for him. Yes, Hazard gets the goals. Yes, Costa gets the goals. I think he's my favourite striker in the league.
Has Kante been sent off yet since he's been in England? I don't think he has he? He's someone who makes, Dom, so many tackles. You would think a percentage of them tackles at least are going to go wrong a few times in one game, but I can't think of him being sent
because
off.
Because people say, obviously, scoring is the hardest thing to do, if not one of the hardest things to do in the game.
But how does the team score if they don't have the ball? And Kante gets the ball.
Yeah, but being in the right place, in the set of the ball at the right time, and then play the right ball, I think that's as key.
Yes,
you can finish, but you need to have the ball, as you said. So
no, you're right. Kante's a brilliant player. So Dom went Kante, I went Costa. Tweet us, at the Football Hour, who do you think Chelsea's best player is? Is it Hazard? It could even be David Luiz. Would we have said that at the start of the season?
Marcus Alonso, Victor
Marcus
Moses.
Alonso.
Anyone in the starting 11.
You could basically pick their starting 11. Let's move on to Crystal Palace, who obviously aren't having a good a season as Chelsea. Their best player, though, for me, Wilf.
Wilfred Zaha, 100%. Zaha. It's been the only sort of shining light in their season,
he's
really.
He's a shining light. And what do we as football fans do when we go and watch football? What are we there to do, Dom? Just for me, I'm there to enjoy it and watch a player do something, which I can't do. The reason I do podcasts is because I can't play football. So Wilf Zaha does crazy things with a football, and I'm excited to see his development. If he keeps progressing in the next 18 months the way he has been in the last 18 months, I think we've got a real top-quality player on his hand. Dom, how much do you think the Man United move affected him? He only seems to be coming out of it now.
Yeah, I mean, he was great in the Championship for Palace. Everyone saw that. He's been played quite a lot through the middle as well when he played in the Championship, because he just had pace. He had a decent eye for goal. Then the Man United move, I didn't really understand it.
It stunted his growth.
Yeah, I don't know why he went. He knew he wasn't going to play. And if you look at majority of who are the top United youth prospects, where are they now? Yanazai, he's at Sunderland. Is he doing anything?
No.
He went to Dortmund last season. Did he do anything? No. Michael Keane, he was probably a top prospect. Yes, he's doing well at Burnley, but he's not a top player. And so Zaha needs to bide his time at Palace. Obviously, that was the link that with Tottenham that got rumoured this season as well.
Yeah, I don't want to say Palace look like they're about to get relegated, Dom. So where would Zaha go? Where's his next move? Because his wing partner at the start of the season was Bolasie. And I think he's made really I know he's got injured for Everton, but before he got injured, Bolasie was pulling up trees for Everton because he was starting every game and he was a key cog in a very good team. The rumours, everyone, listeners, if you don't know, the rumours are that Zaha and Tottenham, that is where he's going to go. So my question, Dom, is will he play?
Well, he won't, because after watching him when they beat us 3-0, you had Dele Alli, Eriksen
on the right, who was the left?
And Hongmin Son.
Yeah.
Zaha doesn't get into that. If he's going to go to somewhere else, it's still a sort of sideways step for me. But if Palace go down, it's not really sideways. It's like a team like Swansea if they stay up. Because I think they're only going to progress under Paul Clement.
Palace ain't going to like hearing that.
But I mean, if they go down.
You're right.
Only if they go down. Because I mean, Swansea have always had some good tricky wingers. Like, remember when Scott Sinclair under Brendan Rodgers? He was phenomenal. And if they can just keep progressing, and then from there, he stays there for maybe one or two seasons, then goes to a big club. Or if he wants to go to... I mean, it depends what he wants to do. Does he want to play football?
Wilf, if you're listening, what do you want to do? Tweet us.
Do you want to play football, or do you want to be on this big pay packet, this big club? It's up to you, mate. Like,
it's up to you, Wilf. And if you're the listener.
If you want to go for a team who's maybe challenging more for Europe, then maybe, I don't know, a team like Southampton. But
Dom's been really serious about this. I'm just taking the mic, just like Wilf's at the other end of this podcast going... You know what, Dom? You made a good point. I should go to Swansea. So, yeah, Wilfred, Swansea's next destination. Start learning Welsh, mate.
If he goes down, he's got to go to a Premier League team. He's not going to get into a top six team and start.
Yeah.
So, at his age, he needs to be playing every week.
Okay. We're going from London to Merseyside, the blue half, Everton. Their best player. Well, it's easy, isn't it, mate? He's the one who scores all the goals.
What, James McCarthy?
James McCarthy. No, it's Romelu Lukaku. Dom, you know this, and a lot of the listeners know this. Last season, I had a huge sort of bee in my bonnet about Lukaku. because there was the FA Cup semi-final against Manchester United, and I went to go watch the game at Wembley. He spends the game with his arms flown up in the air every time he doesn't receive a pass. And to me, I look at what makes a good side, and it's team spirit. To me, that just screamed of, oh, you're an idiot. Why aren't you passing the ball to me? I'm the best player. I don't think that's how you develop a team. And when he doesn't receive the ball, he's a selfish player. And, okay, Dom, you might say, well, selfish player, he gets all the goals. He has to be selfish. But there's a way of going about it, isn't there? He scores all his goals against Stoke, West Brom, Swansea, Bournemouth. He never scores against big teams. My problem is, he is Everton's best player, correct. Would he not keep continuing enjoying his football, staying at Everton, and not making the move back to Chelsea, where I think he's going to sit on the bench again?
If we look at it, I think the only top side he gets into and starts would maybe be Arsenal.
They wouldn't buy a striker like that, would
exactly.
they?
Exactly. Liverpool, they don't need him. So, I mean, yes, stay at Everton. And I mean, Everton aren't exactly a poor side. They are pushing for European places. They've got a great manager in Ronald Koeman.
You've got to ask the question, we're always talking about players moving. Lukaku, maybe you could progress your career staying at Everton and going, you know what, I really want to stay at this club. I love this club.
The best players in the league don't always necessarily play for the best clubs.
No.
Alan Shearer.
Yes.
I mean, I know Teddy Sheringham played for United, but his main big years were at West Ham and Spurs, who were never properly, weren't really challenging for titles. As a striker, you don't actually have to be at the best club to be the best.
He's got an incredible goal scoring record where he is, so
because before,
why do you
before
want to
Sanchez
leave?
Overtook him, he was the top goal scorer in the league. Mm. After he scored those goals against Bournemouth, he was the top goal scorer. And he might even still be the top goal scorer.
I'm harsh on Lukaku, but you've got to say yes to this. When you look at him, he looks like a player who wants to move. And that's weird for someone who's playing a 90-minute football match, but you almost get the sense of he's ready to take that Everton shirt off and put up a Man United one.
I think he thinks he's better than he is, because I think he thinks he's at the level of like a Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Speaking of which, he would do exceptionally well under Simeone at Atletico Madrid, I think. Yeah, I think his ego might be a bit too big.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a quality striker. He's a brilliant striker, but he's not at that top level, is he?
Okay, so he's the best player in Everton. He's also got the biggest ego, which, fair play to him. Some strikers need that sort of spark to go out and perform every week. Let's move on to Hull City. It's a tale of two arse of the city. Well, it's a tale of three arse because, well, Mike Phelan did well, got the manager's job, did rubbish, and then they got rid of him, and now they're performing well under Marco Silva. A player who wasn't sort of playing under Phelan at the start of the season, Dom, was Harry Maguire. It's a weird one for me to go their best player, but their best performances have been recently. Their best player recently has been Harry Maguire. I just put two and two together. Who have you gone for?
Curtis Davis.
Okay. Why is he so vital to the Tigers?
I wouldn't say he's vital. It's just... but like, I've looked at Hull City, right? And thought, there's no one who really stood out to me apart from Snodgrass.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, their defence hasn't been horrific. And to be fair, their defenders actually quite score like most of their goals.
Yeah, the defenders.
Like Curtis Davis and Michael Dawson, they've probably scored like nearly half their goals after Robert Snodgrass. But yeah, Curtis Davis impressed me all season long in the context of how Hull performed. You mentioned Harry Maguire again. Yeah,
he's looking class, mate.
At Sheffield United, he was class. I mean, I know it was League One, but then you thought maybe it's going to a Premier League team too much of a step.
Mm.
The funny thing is, when he moved to Hull, actually, I think he said in his interview about, it's great to play for a team in the Europa League, because Hull had just qualified for Europa League.
He steps into midfield really
comfortable
well.
On the ball.
Yeah,
like,
steps
and
into
it's
midfield.
Not like John Stones comfortable on the ball.
No.
He gets the ball and drives forward.
And sort of attackers, when they try and close him down, bounce off
and
him.
And he's huge
big
as well.
Unit. Yeah, let's move on to the champions, Leicester. Their best player, Dom? Well, they've not had very many good players this season, but who do you think their best?
I've gone with Damari Gray.
Just for potential?
Because last season, he got signed, what, halfway through last season, I believe?
Yeah, from Birmingham, yeah.
From Birmingham. And obviously, he did perform well in the Championship in games. And so, I think a move to a lesser Premier League side, as we can call them. I know they won the league last year, but that was just a freak accident. He's improved so much this year. And that's the reason I went for him, because I looked at Leicester, I was like, well...
And it's hard to be a shining light in such a poor side.
I'm like, they've been rubbish all season. Like, if we're going on, like, raw ability, you'd go for, like, a Riyad Mahrez or Jamie Vardy, but both have been dreadful this season.
Yeah, I haven't gone for either of them. obviously last season you would have gone Mahrez, beautiful player last season, but he's down tools. The one starter from last year who I don't think has down tools, Dom, like everyone else has, is Shinji Okazaki, and that's why I've gone for him as my best Leicester City player this year. He still looks like he's fighting for Ranieri, which is important, but he's also one of them players that I don't think he could ever down tools, because, well, what would he be if he didn't work hard and run around a lot and harry defenders? But let's just move on. Leicester have had some awful performers all season. Right, Liverpool's best player. Go on.
Sadio Mane.
All right, okay. Just because his electricity this season, his goal-scoring ability.
I think I've gone for him, not because he's so good, it's because Liverpool are so bad without him. He's critical to their side. Maybe not. He's got great ability, but you all know that. But I think maybe when they don't have his ability in his side, I mean, their pressing game, I think, relies on him. What I find weird, actually, is Liverpool get associated with this high-pressing game, but they're not the best pressing side in the league. I'd say Spurs are better at pressing than Liverpool.
I'd agree.
Back to Mane, yeah, he had a wonderful season at Southampton. I think before he went to Southampton, he was at Red Bull Salzburg in Austria.
Well, should we apologise? Because at the start of the season, we laughed at Klopp and Liverpool spending all their transfer budget on Mane. They still needed the extra players, but they definitely needed Mane, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, 100%. He's so critical to the
love
side.
Love it, Dom, 100%.
Because their front four or front three, they sort of just interchange, so you can't really say, that's the striker who bags 20 goals a season, because like Firmino, Mane, Coutinho all can play wherever they want. And yeah, I think I've gone with Mane just because how bad they were without him.
Ask me the question then.
Who is your best Liverpool player?
Well, you've mentioned him when you talked about the front four. Coutinho, maybe a month and a half ago I would have gone Lallana, but that was probably based on form. I'm just going on who I actually think is Liverpool's best player. And technically, I would say Coutinho. He's a tricky player, Dom, who loves scoring goals and loves shooting. And I've said it so many times in this podcast, I don't think midfielders shoot anymore. They're scared of losing the ball because all their managers are so obsessed with passing it. Coutinho has got something which I really like. And Mane is electric and he's a speedster. But Coutinho, he's got a curving shot which just makes me...
But
wrecked.
You say that, how many does he miss?
Yeah, loads.
That's what annoys me with Coutinho. There's a million times where he can easily just play a ball in.
Yeah.
To like Mane, Firmino, Lallana, whoever. And he just pelts it from about 40 yards and it goes about 20 yards over the bar.
If you've got a minute after this podcast finishes, go on YouTube, type in Coutinho goal away at Swansea. I've never screamed so much in my life. It was gorgeous. Let's move on to Man City.
Not even as much when Beckford scored at Old Trafford?
Yeah, probably, but you know what I mean.
I'm just exaggerating.
Right, last one of part one for the best players in the Premier League. Alphabetical order, we are up to Manchester City. I'll just say a few simple words. Martin Tyler.
Balotelli, Aguero.
It's not Balotelli. Sergio Aguero is still Man City's best player. I don't care about Jesus. You can send Jesus back to God for all I care. It's Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't my first pick, actually. But he is their best player. I was like, no, I'm not picking a striker. I'm making sure I don't pick a striker here.
Yeah, oh, I'm a hipster. I really love...
I don't think City are nothing without him, if you know what I mean. Like, I was trying to think of players who makes these teams tick. But then you just can't look past his goal record, his natural ability. Like, I think originally I thought about Kevin De Bruyne. Yeah. I just love Kevin De Bruyne so much, but then I was like, no, Sergio Aguero's just goal scoring record is ridiculous. And I mean, yeah, he's a phenomenal player.
And just on Sky's website, Aguero this season played 21, and you'd say Aguero's not had the best season.
Yeah, started 21 games, came on 6 as subs, 19 goals.
So there's someone who's not had their best season and scored 19 goals in 21 appearances. Phenomenal. I love Aguero. Right, that's the end of part one. I'm enjoying this, Dom. This is our best player. So watch out later on in the week for our part two from Manchester United all the way down to, I can't think.
West Ham.
Oh, yeah, the Emmers. Right, thank you for listening. If you enjoy the Football Hour, follow us on Twitter. It's at the Football Hour. If you want to follow Dom, what is it?
At Dom Anom underscore.
If you would like to follow me, it's at Alex Mearn 7. Yeah, follow us on Twitter. It's
if you
free.
Want a timeline filled with Fulham and Lee stuff, just follow us.
If you don't agree with the best players, tweet us at the Football Hour. Stay looking at the iTunes podcast app because part two of this podcast will be out very soon.